life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. I'm Brian Smith, the man who hates him some Don Bluth, and this is episode 17 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. Once again, I'm joined by my co-host and the man who enjoyed Sucker Punch. That's right, for extensive use of elbow grease and science, we finally found him. It's Anthony Askew.
Hello there. Just so I knew you were going to bring up the Sucker Punch thing. I'll just give you ammo by letting the world know that I enjoyed Sucker Punch. And I'll stand by those words.
Fairness, I haven't seen it because it got such awful reviews. And also, I hate all the films that guy's made so far. So I wasn't in a rush to go and.
Fair enough, but that could just fuel the love. You might just go in wanting to hate it.
Did you also like the Elves of Gahool?
I did like Legend of the Guardians. Yeah, me and Zack Snyder just click. He should take me on as like some form of like protege or apprentice. I think we'd work well together. Making shit films.
Send him a letter asking to...
I will do.
Get on that. and we're here to look at some of the spring season anime, some of which are finished and some which are only partway through, and one which is probably only just taking its first steps into a very, 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 very long run, which may never end. These shows we're going to discuss are Azazel-san, Dororon Enmakun Mira Mira, Tiger and Bunny, and Toriko. So, which one did you want to talk about first?
Azazel. We'll go in some form of alphabetical order. Why not?
Right, you've just finished watching.
Literally, 5 minutes before we started recording, I watched the last episode. I'd been putting off watching the entire series for some time, and I finally bit the bullet and jumped into it.
You said before we started recording, you said that you were surprised you liked it so much. So yeah. Why didn't you think you were going to like it?
It's not that I didn't think I was going to like it, because originally that was on my list that I wanted to watch, but I didn't think I would like it as much as I did.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I didn't think I'd find it as funny as I did. I didn't think... I don't know. We'll get there. As we'll discuss it, I'll explain what really did it for me.
The show, if you don't know, is about what supposedly is a detective agency run by a character who goes by the name of...
Akutabe,
yes. Yeah. And he's hired a assistant who's basically the main character, who is Rinko Sakuma. This college-age girl who's basically the straight man to most... the other characters who crop up. And they're a sort of detective agency because they don't do a lot of detecting, and also they summon demons to do their work for them. And normally it's... So the first story involves a woman who wants her husband investigating to find out if he's having an affair. There's also a model or a singer who's being stalked by...
A singer. I think a bit of both, like some pop icon idol thing.
Where she hires Akutabe, but then her stalker to protect her from a stalker, and then the stalker hires Rinko, unknowingly. So basically a demon against demon. And so each episode, it's normally like the episodes are only 15 minutes long. With opening credits and closing credits.
And perfect length, perfect
apart
length.
From the last story, they're all sort of two episodes. The last story stretches out to a grand total of three episodes. Yeah. And it's based on a manga, which is ongoing. I think it's up to five volumes, maybe.
According to my notes.
The jokes are pretty much taken... straight out of there's not much change to the storylines from the comic. They might tag some jokes with stuff which works better animation, but they don't really change the flow of the story. But there is a notable difference which we'll get to later as we
talk. Have you do you know what happens in the manga as well as the series are?
I've looked at a little bit of it. I know there's other guys. There isn't really a long through plot. but stuff which gets mentioned early on will get picked up again in a later arc.
Right. Is there going to be another series of this?
Nothing's been announced, but it wouldn't surprise me, because I think there's enough story... Well, there's loads of stories they've not adapted from this sequence, and then there's nice. a good amount of material after this sequence with additional characters.
That's good.
Like Lucifer.
Oh, exciting. Because obviously we're... What made me want to watch this is just the bizarre demons that get summoned by this... Because obviously the detective thing is a tiny part of the story, really. All the earlier episodes pretty much just build up on the characters and what they're about and what like their powers were, so to speak. And, yeah, the demons are just... They crap me up.
Yeah, each demon's got its own special power. And when it's summoned to the human world, it's sort of its bound form is normally in the shape of some small, borderline cute animal.
Whereas in the demon world, they're kind of not that. They're pretty
badass
looking, I suppose.
Yeah, they're either monstrous or sort of badass looking humans.
Yeah. But from the moment I started this, I didn't expect how vulgar it was going to be, because it is so vulgar. And some of the stuff that to come out with, it just slayed me, it really does. And Azazel, the main character, he's meant to be like a lust demon or something along those lines, and he's got to be one of the most perverse characters next to Enmakun, who will be mentioned later, but... They're on par with perversion, I think, but we'll get to that, I think.
But yeah, as far as... He's got the power of lust, which I think... I try to think he may only use in perhaps the first storyline, and then he's pretty much a punching bag for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Which fits in where the origin of the name is related to the idea of the scapegoat. That's kind of the role he plays in the series as well. Is if one of them's going to get beaten up or have his head cut off, which is a running gag, it's Azazel. he's frequently beaten up by Rinko, by Akutabe, by the other demons. Pretty much everyone.
Yeah, even random people in the streets.
Which possibly. Who can't really see them unless they make themselves visible. But yeah, he also frequently gets the most embarrassing disguises when he's out in the world.
Made
to dress up like a dog or things like that. He doesn't have much luck. He's also very snivelling. If he thinks he's got the upper hand, then he'll suddenly try and turn on anybody. But then sort of immediately plead for mercy once he gets found out.
Yeah. But who was your favourite demon?
Probably Azazel, I think. Yeah. Azazel and Beelzebub are the two main.
Yeah, Beelzebub's good. I'd say he's my favourite. But I do like Moloch, whatever he was called. I do like him.
Yeah, he's where the big difference comes in from the manga, is that we don't get a lot of Moloch in the series, and I won't spoil why, but there is more stories in the comic than there is in the anime about him. And the odd thing about those stories is... I don't think they're adapted because I think they might be construed as racist. I don't know whether they are racist or not, because I can't read the Japanese. But they tend to involve this island nation of characters who look like... Well, you can almost say they look like every single Japanese stereotype of what a foreigner might look like slapped together into one race. And I don't know whether that's a gag on the Japanese xenophobia or just something else, but it's notable that all those stories are excised from the anime, which that's the thing that struck me when
looking
at the manga. And they worshipped Moloch, that island did, and that's kind of where you lose most of his stories.
Yeah, but he's still a pretty prolific character in a sense. Well, obviously, yes. I'm not sure why. But the main reason I like it, some people might be able to read between the lines of where we've come from here, but... One minute you'll be laughing, and the next minute I was having to kind of man up and hold in a slight tear, because it just Yeah, if you're going to watch it, you'll know exactly what I mean. There's, I don't know how they do it, but it really knows how to kind of go emotional all of a sudden and break away from this comedy that's about poo or penises and other things perverse, but then suddenly it's quite emotional. Would you agree?
I'd agree, but I don't think you need to hold it the tears, because I think that's also part of the gag, is that they try to wring that reaction out of these characters, and they play on that themselves.
I'm just a sucker for a little bit sad music, and
by going through all that and then immediately just ignoring it straight away in the next scene, as if nothing.
It works well, though. That's why I praise it, because it does execute that well, and it's good.
The other demons who crop up are Beelzebub, we mentioned, who's the Lord of the Flies, and his earthbound form is sort of a penguin with flies wings on his back, and he's the only one who gets to look like a human on Earth occasionally. His power is to either make people spill their guts. in both manners, either sort of their innermost secrets they'll say, or they'll have to rush to the toilet, or not even get to rush to the toilet. And the running gag with him is that because he's Lord of the Flies, he's constantly seeking out excrement, which he has this gentle pretense of gentleman-like conduct, and then that's broken by his fits of rage and rushing off to eat dog poop.
Yep.
Moloch, I don't think he ever gets to use his power, but he's said to have, is it tyranny or violence, depending on which
violence,
you're looking at. His bound form is that of like a fairly cute looking bull. Salamander, who was the demon the stalker had bound originally, and he's a terrible chauvinist and sort of a parody of Japanese nationalism, I think.
And he loves to spit.
Yes. he crops up in a couple of stories. Again, I think he might crop up in more in the comic.
He's got quite a strange power as well. It's
if you say something, he can make you believe what you're saying.
And he's a good character, and he's voiced by the guy who does Mugen from Samurai Champloo, which I picked up on straight away of hearing his voice.
Oh, I didn't.
So there you go. I've got a good ear for that. But, is there any... Forgot about this character,
Who is sort of a mermaid demon who... Yeah, well, I said that Rinko Sakuma is the straight character to most of these characters. Undyne is the one where Akutabi really gets to be the straight character in sort of like a comedic double act. And when Undyne, how should we describe her? She's an appalling stereotype of single old, well, what Japanese culture might consider older women. There's a character in Hali and Gu, which shares the same director, who was quite similar but nowhere near as appallingly portrayed as Undyne is. I was like, is this misogynist, how badly she's portrayed? But I think because everybody else is portrayed as just as appalling, I think it just about gets away with it. She doesn't have much luck, let's just say. And she's fairly unpleasantly used by Akutabi, but he does occasionally get turned against him.
And her ability is jealousy. And according to the series, her special ability is oral sex, which brought a little smirk.
She just gets to have a human form as well, doesn't she? I forgot about her.
Yeah,
she's the one who's almost always in human form, which is like this. Humanish form. She looks like a walking blow-up sex doll.
Oh God!
Really, doesn't she?
She does. I've never really thought of it like that, but she does. she's an interesting character, definitely, and she falls in love at the drop of a hat with anyone who says she's remotely good looking or even just young. So I'm sure there's a lot of girls out there like that who will just fall in love at the drop of a hat, but you know.
And one of her storylines, introduces a couple of characters who are more main characters in the comic, but they only get 2 episodes here, if I remember correctly. And that's Dochin and his demon, Gusion. Dochin's this brat who Akitabi and Sakuma have to take under their care when his dad dies. And he has his own bound demon, who's this ape-like creature, Gusion, and his ability is to eat people's memories. And he's oddly characterless.
Yeah, I was quite, well, not really disappointing, but you see him in the intro and you think, oh, I wonder when he's going to pop up, and he doesn't really do anything, really.
Yeah, but I think him and those two in the school do crop up again in the comic. The school they go to. Yeah, so they get more of a... I think if we get a second series, there'll be more of them in there. And finally, their enemies, so to speak, when they're not fighting amongst themselves, are angels and God. And I think we mentioned when we were discussing this before, the angels are kind of appalling nerds who are obsessed with things which aren't humans. Their job is to hunt down and... take the grimoires which have bound demons onto Earth. Because if they manage to take grimoire, they can dispose of the demon. And they're distinguished by the fact they all wear backpacks when they're on Earth.
They're so awful, awful looking characters.
And yeah, they're just just horrible yeah. people. In different ways, you only see two on Earth.
Yeah.
And then the ones in heaven are even worse than the ones who get sent to Earth. And and God shows up as well, who's got a great character design, I thought. Mm-hmm. And they're just completely obsequious and laugh at all his appalling jokes. Yeah, nobody gets off lightly in this show.
Especially cosplayers. I forgot about the cosplay episode. Should we mention that?
Yeah, there's a couple of that was another thing that struck me is because. Tsutomu Mizushima, who's the series director, he didn't direct those particular episodes, but he did work on Genshiken, which is a more sort of fair-minded show about otaku and otaku culture. Well, the 2 episodes of this series about otaku culture are not fair-minded in the slightest.
Oh, God, no.
Until about, there's a couple of there's about 1 minute where it suddenly goes, oh, no, let's be fair-minded for a minute, and then get back to being horrible.
But this may sound so harsh, but it has some level of truth in their portrayal, I think.
Yes.
It is overly harsh, but there is some way to guide it. They've had inspiration from going to conventions, I think, and seeing what cosplayers are like. Yeah, they're pretty good episodes. They made me cringe to think that at least twice a year I go to these events. And this is how the world must portray us. Aye. But yeah, I really like this, and they better do a sequel.
Yeah, like the animation series great as well, which is there's a scene, I think, in the Moloch episodes where they've been hired to try and find who's stolen the design of this particular curry company, I think, mascot they were designing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like there's good at comedy and good action. It's just like a scene with Sakuma waiting outside a toilet, which just got such great sort of natural expression in a cartoon, which really struck me. And the final episode has the very best animation of people running away from a filth-covered penguin. That I've
seen. Yes, yeah. Yuck. I can't help but feel yuck when he eats excrement, but yeah.
It's all pixelated out.
Yeah, and that's what adds to the humour, I think, some of the pixelations they do. But yeah,
Yeah, it's all a censorship for gags. I don't think they're planning on uncensoring anything for DVD release. This hasn't been licensed at all yet, so I'd definitely buy it if it did come out on DVD, and even more so if it came out on Blu-ray. It's a fun short little
series.
Speaking of
Blu-ray, I was looking at Dragon Ball Kai on Blu-ray, like the American release. It's £16 for 13 episodes.
That's pretty good.
I know. So if they're going to start doing 13-episode like box sets for like 16, 17 quid on Blu-ray, that's damn good. So hopefully.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah, I know. It's impressive.
Right, next is Doron. Mm-hmm. So what do you think of this one? This I was a big fan of. And...
Oh, it's a strange one. I did enjoy it, but haven't really, because I've only just finished watching this weekend as well, and I don't know, some episodes are just so good, but I felt like kind of some of them kind of dragged on a little bit, and I suppose because of the predictable, I know that could be kind of the appeal, because it kind of mocks. I don't know if... I did like it, but I kind of think why as such. It looks pretty. It's pretty damn funny. And the characters are good, but I don't know, I kind of pinpoint what else.
It does... Well, I've written down that it's the Jim Gaffigan of anime. Do you know the stand-up Jim Gaffigan?
I don't. What kind of stand-up?
I think it's very funny, but one thing he does is he'll take an idea and try and find every single possible joke he can find in that one idea.
Right, so that's a good way to describe it, definitely.
And this is pretty much what this does with each episode. So the concept is that Enma Kun, the nephew of the great King Enma,
leader
of the demon world, has been sent with his demon patrol to Earth to round up demons who are misbehaving and tormenting human beings. And he's supposed to round them up, arrest them, and send them back to hell. And so each episode, there'll be one particular demon who's causing some problems, and there'll be some gimmick to him.
Yeah.
And they'll find every single gag they possibly can from that particular gimmick. So in one, there's a couple of demons, Tengu demons, and they're the big nose Tengu demons.
See, this is one of the things that at first I found funny. It started to dry up a little bit, and then I just couldn't help but laugh, because it keeps going and going and going and going. But go on, explain.
Yeah, and so basically the entire show is just a series of nose gags. That is nose gag after nose gag after nose gag for that particular episode. There's a few other gags as well, because...
Yeah.
It's by the director of Gaiga, and there's some references to that when they combine. Because there's a red demon and a blue demon, and in Gaiga there was a red robot and a blue robot, and they combined in the same way they do in this particular episode. And that's pretty much what goes for each particular episode. And even in the credits, it's got a formula to it as well, where it'll be set scenes in the credits, and then you'll get a scene of whichever monster's coming up in this episode, and then in shadows you'll see whichever monsters are going to come up in the following episode.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, there's a little gem there. May have to...
It took me a few episodes, because I noticed it was happening. I couldn't work out what it was that it was doing, but then, it struck me. Oh, okay, that's what they're doing.
I don't get me wrong by my hesitation just before, because I really did like this. I really, really did it. Really, it's really funny, but it's just because I've kind of crammed it in
the past four days,
so it's like,
Yeah, I agree on that, Kate. Because even when I was watching two episodes at a time, it was sometimes the second one would drag a bit.
Yeah.
I think some episodes maybe are better than others. Sometimes I'm not sure there are 22 minutes worth of jokes to be found of one particular concept. But the thing is, once the next episode comes along, it often has got 22 minutes of gags.
And some of the long-running jokes that happen throughout, they're so funny. And at first, you're not quite sure what it is, and then it keeps doing it. Like, there's a character who they keep referring to called Dr. Demon. And basically, whenever the... Oh, I'm trying to think of an example. Something happens, and one of the characters say, "Oh, Dr. Demon told me about this."
Normally, Shapoji, the talking hat.
Yeah, damn good character, I've got to say.
He'll refer to something. Because whenever there's any exposition, he'll say that Dr. Demon told him something.
And a little circle will pop up with Dr. Demon's face, and then it'll fly off or interact with a character somehow, I don't know, but... And at first I was kind of like, just didn't really think much of it, but then it keeps popping up and popping up. And every time, it tickled me. It does.
Yeah, so the characters are Enma Kun, who is the nephew of King Enma, and he's got a magic cape, a magic staff.
Magic eyebrows.
Yes, and he's got this, what's it called, the thing he's got on his head?
Something bracelet, I think. No, is it?
I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, there's a MacGuffin attached to his head, which drives the entire series, eventually you find out. Because everyone's trying to get hold of this circlet that's attached to his head. Then in his demon patrol he has Yukiko Himi, who's a ice demon, or an ice woman, like the one in Puguru.
She's a lot better than the one in Puguru.
And she's sort of Enma's sort of girlfriend, and sort of the main target for groping, though occasionally Enma, it is Gonagai, so it is equal opportunity groping, occasionally Enma gets groped as well. There's Kaparo, who's a Kappa, and his running gag is that he gets killed every episode.
And he's, in fact, I was going to say he's pretty perverse, but everybody is. Well, except the females. They aren't quite as perverse, but they, as you say, they do have the opportunity to shine, so to speak.
Yes.
But yeah.
When given the opportunity, yes. They'll be as filthy as the male characters. King Enma, who's obviously setting them up, he's like this big cartoony looking demon who throughout the series seems to have some sort of ulterior motive. But don't think it ever really turns out that he has one until the very last couple of episodes, when he sort of has one enforced upon him, where it's explained what's going on to him, and then he suddenly doesn't have an ulterior motive. And there's Enbi Chan, who won't say too much about who she actually is, but she's from a spin-off series. She's basically a female version of Enma Kun crossed with the character Keiko Kamen, in that she doesn't wear any clothes beyond her magic hat and her magic cloak. And well, she has a, what she have? She has, doesn't she have a broomstick as well?
I'm looking on the Wikipedia now. And was she in the original series as well as this or not?
No, she wasn't.
Right, okay.
Yeah, she's from, I think from early 2000s, maybe late 90s. She's a spin-off gag, sort of, much filthier than Enma Kun was. Much, much filthier. Sort of Johnny, I've seen some of it, and it's closer to, like, Johnny Ryan than if you've ever read any of his comics. Sort of very scatological. Right. Very sexual, just really filthy. It would make Azazel sound lush.
Not saying something. Oh, God.
And, there is a hint right at the end that I don't know whether they're going to do an extra episode, because after the ending credits, not part, this isn't really much of a spoiler, because they don't show up in the actual story, but you see her with her supporting cast in, like, a very tiny scene, so I don't know whether they're going to do an OAV or something.
Well, as long as we get a second series for this, I'll be happy.
Oh, I don't know if they will.
Such a shame.
I suspect they might just do a different Go Nagai story.
Right, I see.
The more, because I've been doing my research for my panel at Iacon, and the teacher, Ms. Chico, who's the very muscular female teacher at the school, she shows up in another series. She's called occasionally Sukaban Boy or Delinquent in Drag, the OAV was released as. And I could see them making that into a series. In fact, the narrative is disturbingly coherent for a Go Nagai series, that there's actual seems to be continuity. he doesn't seem to get bored half. Because with a series, he often gets bored halfway through, and then the series turns into something completely different. But that one doesn't seem to get bored, and I could see them making a series of that.
See, that's all well and good, but I just... The kind of chemistry and interaction with some of the characters in this is just so good. And I would like to see more of it, and it's a shame if... And OAV would be pretty good, but I would like to see more.
Yeah, it's very sitcom-y, isn't it, I'd say, in that you've got a fairly small cast, and then each episode tends to involve those characters interacting with a guest star.
Yeah.
So I can see, yeah. I mean, the original series went on for a very long time, but that was more a Monster of the Week type show.
Right.
Than this was. The character designs look quite different, even different from the original comic. What other notes have I got written down here? The male teacher, whose name escapes me, reminded me of, like, the dads and teachers you get in the Beano.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
With the sort of completely ineffective and that sort of pencil moustache. I think he shows up in other things as well. I think I've seen him in one of the Abashiri family strips I was looking at for the panel. Probably a later one. But yeah, the references are generally 70s based, but I think they generally get looser and looser as the series goes on.
Right.
So you've got the Guy Gear references all the way through, but then in the last episode you get a Spy Hunter video game reference. I think one episode, because at the start of the other thing in the credits is the characters will appear in some sort of parody of another TV show from the era. Most of which I probably don't know, but there's one where they're all dressed as the Thunderbirds.
That I was about to mention that. I'm pleased you mentioned that. That's damn good. That is funny. That is good.
And there's loads of other Go Nagai references in general, as particularly in the last episode. There's stuff referenced in the last episode that I've never... It's probably the first time it's been animated.
I love the Wacky Races reference as well.
Yeah. The last episode was so good, it made me forget that there's a couple of episodes where I thought it dragged a bit, because it is just so packed with gags, and the ending is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, there's Iron Muscle references, which is a wrestling strip about people wrestling in giant robots, which is probably the first time it's ever appeared in animation.
Is that a Go Nagai thing as well? Or...
Yeah. Yes, it is. Because when the characters all get their power-ups in the last episode, they're all references to other scripts.
Right.
Which I didn't quite get all of them. I'm not quite sure what Enbi-chan's sword she gets is. But obviously Yukiko's is... And all, I think a lot of the people they're fighting in the last episode are also from other series.
Right.
Obviously, Yukiko's is like the breast missile from the various giant robot shows. Aden McCun's power-up is Slum King's armour from Violence Jack.
Oh. Oh, but it's just reference galore.
Yes. And the final thing I've written down is there is hat sex. You want to see two hats have sex. This is the show to watch.
There's a great little joke about... I can't remember how it's brought about, but basically, what's he called the hat again?
Chapeau Gigi.
Well, him, he has this kind of porn collection of pictures of hats.
And oh yeah, like, I forgot about that.
It's so simple, but it's so funny. Oh, that's one of the things that tickled me. That's just one of the things that stood out.
Yeah.
There's a Devilman reference that I picked up on as well. Earlier on, because I do like Devilman, so.
But yeah, this is coming out on DVD in America. There seems to be umming and ahhing about whether or not it's coming out on Blu-ray, but it's coming out on DVD. I should probably import it, because it is, for a TV series, it looks really, really good. And I suspect there might be some additional things for DVD. Mm. Again, it's censored, but I think most of the censorship, much like Azazel, is there for gags, because I think they even make comment on it at one point. And the censorship is often the caricature of Go Nagai Space.
So. Oh, right. I didn't realise. I wasn't going to ask, but I'm pleased you mentioned it. But, right.
Yeah, that's how he draws himself. I think he occasionally shows. He shows up in the NB-chan strip restaurant himself. I think somebody eats his brains. They cut the top of his head off and eats his brains. I think he shows up in... God, I can't remember which strip. I wish I'd been looking. I've been looking at so many for the canal recently that I've forgotten which one it's from. But there's him and I think another two members of Dynamic Productions who show up as little kids in the school gang. But yeah, it's definitely worth buying if you like Go Nagai. But if you don't like Go Nagai, you're probably going to avoid it like the plague anyway. There are plenty of people who do. So there's a post on Awesome Engine I wrote about sort of how it reacts with the past and the present. Because while it's set in the past and that is very 70s, it's very much looking at the 70s from this point in time. But yeah, I've got these quotes from people who didn't like the first episode saying, "The animation I dislike immensely, even though it is kind of good. It's good animation. It's just good for the 1980s, not now."
Oh, there's some funny people around. Yeah, there's another quote that made me laugh on that. I can't remember which one, but...
Oh, is it boring? I dropped one after I saw the huge penis monster in the OP.
Oh, crazy. Totally crazy.
Unfortunately, the huge penis monster doesn't show up until the very last episode in the series himself. He gets no lines either.
Oh, a shame.
Yeah.
This is a good laugh.
But the people who did like it seem to like it a lot, so hopefully it does well on DVD, and I should probably be importing it when it does. Fortunately, that's a label which doesn't release anything over in the UK.
Oh, right, okay.
So there's no point waiting for it, because I don't think anybody else is going to pick it up. So she'll have to import. Right, next is Tiger and Bunny.
Yes.
I've done a lot of talking, you talk a bit about this while I get my...
This, for me, because obviously back in the... I can't remember what episode it was, but when we were doing the previews for these new shows, this was the one that had me excited. There was a few others, but I love this. This is top of my list.
Episode 5.
Was that when it was? Oh.
It was.
I feel like a million years ago now, because what episode will this be? 17 or 16?
17.
God. I feel old. But yeah, Tiger and Bunny, in case you don't know, I can't even remember name the city, but basically it's set in this city where heroes are kind of commercialised and they're in everybody's house, they're always on TV, there's like live shows of them catching criminals, which they get points for. But it kind of evolves into... something a lot more serious and more sinister, and it's just characters are great, and it's good. It's great. From the moment I started watching it, it's no lie, I said to myself, this is the one, this is going to be the show out the spring stuff I know I'm going to like, and I did like it.
It's Sternbill City is where they live.
Sternbill City, right, I see. See, I never pick up on little things like that, you see. I'm usually focusing on other things, but yeah, two main characters, Wild Tiger, who's also known as Kotetsu, and Bunny, who is called Barnaby Jr. And Barnaby's parents were murdered, and that's pretty much what the first story arc is about. It's him kind of, he gets this like dream, this nightmare of the person killing his parents, and it slowly, slowly kind of starts to unveil as this group of people, and he's... I don't want to spoil it, because the way it unfolds, it's done really, really well. And there's some good... some of the heroes are awesome. And I'd like to see more in later episodes of some of the heroes, so...
Well, we can talk about some of the heroes, because... Might as well. Yeah, so the other hero... So, yeah, you've got Kotetsu, who is noticeable that he's sort of older than all the other superheroes. He's got a daughter... And he also keeps his identity secret.
Yeah. Unlike Barnaby, who...
wants everyone.
Yeah, I don't know why so much. I think he doesn't really care. I don't think it's really talked about that much, but yeah. I think anybody else keeps their identity secret as well. Yeah, I think it's just Barnaby who doesn't. That's right, yeah. Now, I suppose he's kind of like this Bruce Wayne character almost. Well, not even almost, he is. He's rich.
He's, kind of, he's both Bruce Wayne and Tony Stark, really. Yeah. He's the movie Tony Stark in terms of saying, hey, I'm Barnaby Brooks Jr.
Because he doesn't actually have a power, does he?
No, he's got the same power as Tiger.
But is that not just enhanced from his suit?
Well, no, because they make a point, only like a minor point, that it's odd that the two of them have got the same powers, which I'm sure will come up at a later point.
Oh, right.
Something significant.
Right, I like that. I like that. But yeah, I thought it was the suits, because basically these two suits are like obviously constructed with like some company's money, so that kind of goes to the Iron Man thing and the Stark Industries, whatever it's called. So much I wanted to say about this and it's gone blank. Honestly, I've got so much praise for this show. Oh God.
Yeah. So they're the partners, and the Bunny is his nickname, which Tiger gives him.
Yeah.
And much to his annoyance in the first part of the series, and he's looking for a criminal organization called Ouroboros. The other superheroes they work with or compete against, they're competing against them, they're all sort of generally on good terms, apart from at least the first 13 episodes, everybody's kind of down on Tiger, apart from his best friend, Rock Bison, because they're both at the bottom of the hero charts. So.
Yeah. Though not at the very bottom, though.
No.
Origami Cyclone is at the bottom. And there's a reason for that, which you kind of find out later.
Origami Cyclone is this kid who, at least at the start, just seems to be... he just tries to get himself on screen rather than particularly doing anything heroic. And we learn the reason why. Each character generally gets their own episode. There's a couple who not really had one up to episode 13, which is where we're talking up to. But I'm sure they'll get their episodes later on. So Origami Cyclone gets an episode. There's Dragon Kid, who's this Chinese girl tomboy, she's got electricity powers and generally does quite well.
Blue Rose, she controls ice.
Yeah, and she's pretty much the female lead of the show.
Yeah, she's had a lot of involvement, really, and from what I've seen. But, she seems all right.
She's a teenager, isn't she? She's still at school.
Yeah, and there's an episode where she debates kind of giving up being a hero and like focusing on her like singing and stuff like that. Pretty run-of-the-mill stuff, really, but it's all part of the character development.
Yeah, because her deal is that she wants to be a singer more than she wants to be a superhero.
Yeah. Fire Emblem. Who's this?
Fire Emblem.
Yeah. Extremely feminine gentleman. He's pretty
funny.
Well,
I don't know if he's feminine. He's flamboyant, isn't he? Because it could be a terrible stereotype, but the guy playing him does a good job of sort of his making, rather than just being flamboyantly gay all the time, he knows to sort of where to change the tone of his voice.
You're right on that, yeah. No, I like him. He's a good
guy. He's... I don't know whether he's probably the most sensible of the other heroes when it comes down to it. Sky High is the top hero for the first 13 episodes. The King of Heroes, as he gets referred to.
Mm.
We don't really learn too much about him apart from, I think the other characters think he's self-centered, but he doesn't actually seem to be himself. Mm. I'm not sure whether it's going to, because the thing that struck me, because we learned the first thing in episodes that Tiger became a hero because of this superhero called Mr. Legend, who inspired him to become a superhero. And there's like occasional scenes where you kind of think, Sky High looks up to Tiger in a similar way, but Tiger really doesn't like Sky High. He just really is.
I don't know why.
That's the thing, I don't know why, because he's the one who does the most superheroic things. Out of a lot of them. He's
but you can't help me. But sympathise with Tiger. I tweeted a few weeks ago, that he is one of the most likeable characters. There's something about him, and he's such a nice guy. He's the kind of guy you'd love to just sit down and have a nice drink with. He's just one of those nice guys. Well, don't get that many of them.
But. I think that's where it's popular, because it's more popular than I think they thought it was going to be, because I don't think they gave it a very big budget.
Oh, right,
from
right.
What I hear to begin with.
Uh-huh.
And as I noticed on an article on Awesome Engine earlier in the week, is that most of the writing staff are completely new to animation. They've all sort of got theatre backgrounds and a few other TV and film credits to their name, but they're not really animation guys.
Right.
Which probably is another reason why it feels slightly different to
yeah.
a typical anime show. And, the thing I think which is for the key to its success is that likability of Tiger and Buddy and their sort of buddy relationship.
Definitely.
Because it reminded me of, let me just find, is... Because it's got a big female following. And...
I did not know that.
Need to go and look at Pixiv, the fan art on Pixiv and probably DeviantArt, and I'm sure that will...
Oh, God. I'm not... there'll be some awful... homoerotic art and...
All I'll say is that I think episode 14 and 15, which I have seen, you haven't seen.
I'm not that far yet.
I get the feeling that they're playing a bit more to their audience now.
Oh, I don't want that to happen. that could be the worst thing you could say to me.
Tongue in cheek, though.
Oh, right. That's okay, then. Let's see how it's done.
Yeah, you'll see how it's done. But yeah, it reminded me of things like Starsky and Hutch and The Professionals and sort of Redford and Newman films like Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid and The Sting, where it's that sort of male friendship where...
Like a little bit of a playful fight.
Yeah, it's sort of...
But the makeup.
Acceptable face of masculinity, where it's not oppressively laddish that it's going to scare away any female viewer. But it's also not excessively pandering to female viewers that is necessarily going to scare away any male viewers.
But I just think this just does it for me, this. I don't know, we'll see about the homoerotic stuff. Not that I'm a homophobic person whatsoever, but...
it's nothing like that, no.
Oh,
it's
good.
Just, there's...
Good.
You'll see.
Right.
They just play into the fact that it's more popular than... they're expecting and the character and who the characters are popular with and sort of work that with it into the story itself.
Yeah, I suppose it's fair enough on their part, but what I really do like about this is the villains, the antagonists. You don't really know a great deal about them early on, and I don't know if they've revealed much more where you are.
I'm
lunatic.
Told that the episode which just came out today is a lunatic episode.
Good.
Lunatic.
Very good character.
Yeah, he's like a... Where all the other ones are sort of set up to, they're part of this TV show where they're capturing criminals, bringing them in alive, arresting them, rescuing people. Lunatic isn't part of the TV show, and he's going around killing criminals.
Yeah.
And sort of asking what sort of justice are the heroes really bringing to the city compared to what he's doing.
There's some really exciting, like, not to do with Lunatic, but, like, some of the latter episodes of the first arc, I found so exciting. Extremely exciting. Like, when everything kind of, I don't know what episode it is, but everything kind of suddenly starts fitting into place, and you start understanding what's going to happen, and it's so exciting. So much peril and excitement, and it's really, really good.
Yeah, I think they pull that off quite well, because they do it in a way that... you wouldn't necessarily expect a TV show to do, particularly one which has got a mystery. I won't say any more of that, but they kind of pull the rug out from under your feet a bit.
Definitely.
And the character's feet as well.
But yeah, it gets so exciting. And I think I fell behind by a few episodes, and I rattled a few of them straight off the belt because it was so exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, so the villains for that are quite good. But then, yeah, say that all the first story wraps up in episode 13, and then 14, there's a little bit of a time skip. That's the only other thing I'll mention. And then you'll see where they are then.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to carry on with this. And with that said, this is my favourite show at the moment. At least from this batch. Though the show I'm about to talk about is pretty close.
Yeah, I've not watched this, and this is Toriko. I watched the One Piece episode. I think I watched the first two episodes, but I just don't have time to keep up with it.
And I'm the complete opposite. I make the time to watch this. I really do. If there's other things to watch, I'll put them under the rug and go straight to this. It seems, instant I put the episode on, it's over. And it always finishes in that kind of classic cliffhanger-esque thing. It just wants you to watch the next episode. But yeah, this is Toriko, and it's about Toriko, who is a Bishukai? It's basically a group of people who go around collecting ingredients, rare ingredients from parts of the world, from different bizarre creatures or bizarre plants, and they're obsessed with food and cooking it. That's it, at a basic level. And it's just so much fun. If somebody says, I wrote a little piece on my blog about it, and I'll just kind of regurgitate it, because nobody will have read it. See, you should sympathy read. But on a basic level, if somebody told me that's what it was about, I wouldn't give it the time of day. But you sit down and watch it. It looks fun. It's colourful. And the characters are just pretty bizarre, really, because they've all got, like, there's one character, I can't even remember the names, but that's irrelevant. It's basically typical One Piece, Dragon Ball kind of thing. It'll go on forever, and if you like that kind of thing, you're going to love this. And obviously not a great deal's happened, because it's only 13 episodes in.
Actually, it's moved through the comic, at least as far as I read the comic, it moved through that bit very quickly, so what, I don't know how much
they're in the series. Oh, right.
Yeah, they got through the first volume of the comic pretty darn quick, I think, within maybe the first two episodes.
Oh, goodness.
But they've introduced, there was characters I didn't know, so I don't know whether, I think there's some anime original characters, so I don't know how strictly they're sticking there. Strictly they're sticking to the comic.
Oh, I didn't know that, but not a great deal has happened, because in good fashion, they like to draw stuff out. Like, a fight may go on 3-4 episodes, easy. And there's presently a fight going on at the moment, and I don't know when this is going to end, but I don't mind, because it's fun, and I enjoy watching it. Toriko is a bit of a Goku kind of character, extremely likeable. You're a Goku fan, from what you...
I mean, I've seen, I don't know, maybe the first 30 episodes of Kai, that's written.
Yeah.
I've read a little bit of Dragon Ball, the early volumes, and then the ones they packaged as Dragon Ball Z.
Ah, right. But yeah, he's basically this, not monstrous figure, but he's strong, and he's got an appetite like Goku, because Goku in Dragon Ball has always had this huge appetite. I suppose I'm not really doing this show justice, because there's not a great deal you can say about the story, because it's such early days, if that
it
makes
sense.
It does
have a really good opening theme tune, though.
It gets you hyped for the episode.
Yeah, it's probably, I don't know, maybe the best one this year.
Oh, you think? I personally like Dororon.
Yeah, that's good.
I do like that.
I'm a big fan of anything where they're shouting guts.
But I don't, especially you, Brian, fan of One Piece, you should definitely watch it.
I know, but I've watched One Piece.
Yeah, but watch an extra 22 minutes.
I would have watched things like John Benjamin Has a Van and Burn Notice.
But honestly, it's such a great show. And what will happen is you'll get too far behind. And that's why I'm urging everyone listening to make the move, watch it now, or you'll regret it.
Is that streaming anywhere?
I don't know, because I tend not to stream stuff.
Filthy pirate.
Well, it's the same as streaming to some degree.
Wait, no, they get advertising revenue from streaming. I'm just going to look for streaming. Well,
Brian will check while I try to muster up some argument for you to
watch. All the ones coming up, there you go. It's not available to us, I don't think.
Right.
In the UK. Well, no, it's not.
There will be a way you can find it, I'm
You'll
sure.
You'll be stuck like I am with One Piece and being a filthy pirate if you want to watch it.
No, but honestly, this is so close behind Tiger and Bunny for the ones that I really love from this kind of batch. And in fact, I've got two episodes to watch and I think I'll do that straight away after recording this. But yeah, no excuse for not watching Toriko. It's good fun. And as I said in my blog post...
My excuses weren't good enough for you then, were
nah,
they?
Nah, you've got time on your hands. You've got a job. You've got breaks in the job. Take it to work with you.
I tend to take my laptop to work with me. I go and have some exercise when I've got time off at work at lunch.
Oh, God. See, when I used to work, that long time ago, sorry to digress, but I used to kind of zombie out on my break. Conserve that energy for the work, you see.
Well, no, if you sit around your office, though, somebody might ask you to do some work on lunch break.
Right.
So.
Oh, get out of there when you can. But yeah, Toriko, I feel like a kid again, getting excited for Dragon Ball Z on Cartoon Network. That's how I feel. And for me, that is a just reason for anyone to watch it.
Okay, I'll watch some more if you watch the episode of One Piece when it comes back from the time skip.
Oh, but that's a bit harsh. You're like 12 episodes behind, give or take.
I'm not saying catch up all the way to there. I'm just saying... It'll make an interesting episode for you to watch when they do the time skip.
All right.
To watch that and see if you can understand what's going on or what you get out of it. I think that'd be an interesting episode.
So I think I'd fall in love with One Piece in the same way I have done with this because I'm so... To some degree, I'm easy pleased with these kind of action-y shonen shows. And I don't know why. As I say, it's probably just because I feel young again. I feel like I'm watching Dragon Ball Z. But, okay, I'll do that, maybe. No, I'll do it.
I don't know when it's going to happen, because I keep on thinking it's going to happen, and it's always another episode of... I forgot there's an entire... Because I thought there was a flashback, and I thought, okay, after the flashback... Then we get to the time skip, and then I forgot, oh, no, there's a whole bunch more story before that. Well, I shall let you know when it happens, and then we can do an episode about that.
The problem is, though, is if I fall in love with it, which I may well do, I'm going to want to go back and watch them all. It could be a very slippery...
There's only 500 odds to catch up on.
Jesus. No doubt Toriko will have the same mass backlog of episodes at some point. At least hopefully, I like long run stuff.
But yeah, I never get the argument of people saying I need to start from the start. It's like, do you need to start from the start of EastEnders or Coronation Street there? What's happening?
That's a good point, but it feels different somehow.
You'll just catch up, and then if you do like it, then it's easy. Well, it's probably simpler to
get the arc you like.
To catch up on, because particularly for One Piece and say Dragon Ball or something like that, if you just buy the comic, then you're sort of missing out on all the rubbishy extra bits that the animators put in. Mm-hmm. Except in One Piece's case, they've deliberately, the past couple of years, he's been deliberately leaving stuff out of the comic for the animators to put in later.
Right.
So that,
it would encourage people reading to watch as well.
I think it's also just so they don't have, it would be kind of difficult for them to put their own storylines in at this point.
Right.
Because the way the story is flowing, because normally in the past, because it's been island to island in the arcs, so something happens on an island, then they go to another island. Something happens on that island, then they go to another island in the comic.
Mm-hmm.
It's fairly simple to just stick another island in between islands and have a little...
Bit of filler.
A bit of filler story.
Yeah.
But the way it's been flowing in the past couple of years, they've not really had that chance. So when they put in stuff, it's either been to fill in the gaps he's deliberately left or just to do like a non-canonical side story. So they might cast them in a different time period. kind of like what Eurosite Surrey used to do. They take all the characters and plant them into a different type of story.
Right, right. Could you sum up One Piece in a minute? Up to the the present-ish episode, could you sum it up, do you think?
In a minute? Not off the top of my head. Probably not. Pirate sets off to find fabled treasure, picks up friends, loses friends, finds friends again.
See, those words there is why I'd want to watch from the start, because stuff like this, it's always the characters that I love, and I want to see who's getting killed off and stuff like that. That's part of the fun. A morbid fun by the sounds of it, but it is part of the fun to see who gets killed off.
Yeah, people don't tend to die very much in One Piece, except in the flashbacks.
Right, right.
If you're in a flashback, you're probably doomed. particularly if you're some sort of father figure.
Right.
Or a mother. If you're some sort of parental figure and you're in a flashback, look out! You're not going to last very long. But sort of major deaths in One Piece in sort of current time period, I think there's only really been two.
Oh, see, I like a good death in a show. I think if any show starts going a bit slow, kill someone off. So when you, when you start getting bored of Dynamite in the brain, kill one of us off.
You're the Raymond Chandler type of plotting. When he was, didn't know where to go, he'd have somebody walk in, somebody walks in with a pistol. And then that's sort of...
So that's a way to go.
Had to get a scene moving again. No, he thought... I think there's an early interview where he said he didn't think you needed to kill people off to create emotion. He could, that's just a lazy way of creating emotion. However, he then went on to pretend to kill people off frequently. So you'd think somebody had died, and then, oh no, a few chapters later it turned up they were perfectly okay.
Oh god.
So he kind of wanted his cake and eat it too. But,
but one day I may come back to have a more structured conversation about Toriko, but I think it's so early to discuss it properly other than to say that I really like it. Because 15 episodes in a shonen series, 13 or so, is nothing. To drop in the ocean.
It is, yeah.
Less than drop in the ocean.
Well, there's sometimes they rip through stuff fairly quickly, but where it's in its time slot next to One Piece and the ratings it's getting, which aren't Dragon Ball Kai ratings, but they're decent ratings.
Is that really high rating? Like, has it got, like, really skyrocket ratings over in Japan, Kai?
Well, not skyrocket, no, but it's no Saze-san or Chibi Maruko-chan, where everyone's watching it, but it's got better than most.
Right, right.
Better than your Bleaches and your Narutos.
Oh, right. Hmm.
And, yeah, so... I think they just put up a new chart on Anime News Network. Let me see if I'm going to find it. If you want to vamp for a bit while.
Well, one thing about Toriko that I've failed to mention is there is actually some point to them kind of getting these ingredients and stuff, because it's all to do with making this ideal, I think it's a 9-course, 7 or 9-course menu. Each kind of master ingredient hunter, say, all have their kind of set menu. And that's the story. Toriko is going around to get his menu. And then when you end of an episode, they'll have some huge struggle to get this one ingredient. And then he'll say, it's nice, but it's not good enough for the menu. And where it's getting to now, we've kind of got these villains introduced. And they're kind of... Well, I don't know how the villains are such, really. Because they're kind of just out to do the exact same thing. In a sense, but...
Well, yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering how villains fitted into it.
That's just sprung to mind, but... Though, that's why, of course, the villains don't want to share the ingredients. They want to keep it for themselves. So it's close, but it's slightly different in that regard. But yeah,
so they're selfish rather than evil, are they? Or are they actually evil?
Well... I'm sure it's a Bashukai, that's what the ingredient hunters are called, but basically, they have, I don't even know if it's a policy, but they never kill, well actually them.
No, no, he kills.
If they never...
Toriko's thing is he won't kill anything that he's not going to eat.
That's right, yes. Whereas the villains, there's a scene where, there's all these corpses of some creature, something or other, and one of the characters is enraged because they killed them without eating them.
So they're dishonorable.
Yeah.
They've broken the code of conduct.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, so here's the last TV ranking they've got on Anime News Network. So Sazae-san was 18.4. Chibi Maruko-chan was 12.1. Detective Conan was 9.5. Crane Shin-chan 9.2.
What Dorian do these 1. Points represent? What do they represent?
I think they're like percentage.
Right.
Households watching at that time. I don't know if it's total households or total of households which have their TV switched on.
Right, I see.
I'm never quite sure on how these ratings work in our country, let alone America or Japan's. Yeah, so Crane Shin-chan 9.2, Dorimon 9.1, One Piece 8.9, and then Toriko 6.3.
That's not bad, then.
Toriko comes on before One Piece, so obviously there's a bunch of people who are just switching on for One Piece and don't care about Toriko. Whereas I think the Dragon Ball Kai ones tend to be a bit closer to One Piece than that.
I don't understand how someone could like One Piece but not like this. It's in such a similar vein.
You've seen the figures on how many more books that One Piece sells than everything else in Japan.
No, I don't know what kind of.
Oh, like millions and millions more volumes sold than its next closest rival. So there's a bunch of people in Japan who are just One Piece fans. One Piece is the thing they like. They might not care about any other.
That's bizarre. It's not bizarre, but it's pretty crazy how successful it is, really.
Yeah, and if it ever finishes, then Shonen Jump might be in a bit of trouble.
Scary.
Because I do wonder how many people are just buying it for One Piece at this point in time, particularly when there were some stats came out saying how huge a percentage people buying it were adults rather than kids.
Because, I mean, how many years worth is 500 and odd?
It's 10 plus years.
Jesus. So people who obviously watched from the beginning.
And now, if they were kids, they're now adults, yeah.
That's crazy.
And to wrap up the charts, the other three were Sweet Precure, which is the latest Precure show, Pocket Monster's Best Wishes. I don't know what it's called in the UK or in America, but it's just started in the UK on terrestrial TV. I know that.
Oh, right.
Then Tamagotchi rounds off the top 10.
And that's for this month? Or?
That's for the week, July the 4th to the 10th.
Right. Pretty up to date then, in regard, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
anything else you want to bring up?
Who was your favourite character in Dororon? We didn't mention that. I always like to know who people's favourites are.
I think Harumi.
Because
I think she's the key to the show in her reactions to everything which is going on. And then her inner reactions to her own reactions is the thing I like.
Yeah, she's
and
a good character.
Then those inner reactions will have further inner reactions to...
and so on,
yeah.
I've got to pick Dr. Demon.
That's a good choice.
Something about that character that's great. But no, every other character is amazing, and that's why I really liked it, but Dr. Demon's up there.
Okay, you want favourite... So what was your favourite Tiger and Bunny character? Oh, was it Tiger?
Tiger, without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably Tiger for me.
I want to mention, but Saito. It's a spoiler. No.
I was going to say Saito. I do like Saito as well.
He's
the scientist who designs the armour.
Yes.
The Tiger and Bunny.
Oh, God, he's...
His running gag that they can't hear him except when he's talking to them over the armour. At which point he's incredibly loud and shouting.
And I lol every time it happens.
And his ridiculous upgrade he makes to the armour as well.
Yeah. Oh, God. But I like... I do like Lunatic, but the other villain that gets brought in.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's a good character. I'd like to see some people cosplaying him in the future. because they're pretty...
I'm sure they will be. Yeah. If only because he's probably the easiest one to do ever.
I wonder if there is some Tegan Bunny cosplayers at Iacon.
Well, there's a few people who like to make armour, isn't there? So
hopefully.
Might be a bit soon for Iacon. I suspect maybe the MCM Expo.
Yeah. Nobody cares about that one, though.
But there might be people doing the civvies costumes. I've seen people do that, and I think you can buy them in Japan.
The what costumes?
When they're in the civilian outfits.
Oh, right, yeah.
So they're going to sell the hat.
That's an awesome hat.
In Japan.
Yeah.
Which apparently they dream of seeing old men wearing it. Or something along those lines.
Oh, I may buy me granddad one.
I'm probably misquoting it, but it is a pretty good hat, yeah.
It is, but every Tom, Dick and Harry is going to be wearing the Macan.
Yeah, like the...
Urahara from Bleach.
That's the word I was looking for, yeah, his hat. Yeah.
Because for a while I thought, oh, I like that hat. Then I went to a con.
Well, if they make the hat expensive enough, then maybe that won't happen. If it's like a proper fashion hat rather than a costume hat.
Yeah,
which I think may well be the plan, in which case that might price people out of the...
show up at a future con with one if that's the case, if they're more exclusive than just being able to wing them off like eBay or something, you know.
Yeah, I think I've seen people selling, I think they've done like costumes of Bunny's cowboy shirt.
Oh, God.
Wears. I'm sure you could just buy a proper cowboy shirt with those colours. But yeah, I imagine you might see those costumes done. But yeah, otherwise you've got lots of people in armour and lots of people in spandex. So I'm not sure. So the guy, the villain who wears normal clothes, and you probably just need a decent physique.
well, we'd be able to pull that off, Brian, so maybe we should.
And a willingness to give yourself a crazy haircut.
Yeah, which I've been known to have before, so it wouldn't be a... But I'm not cosplaying them, I'll say that now, so don't expect one. Oh, God, so that was... We've already discussed four shows. Out of all the ones we were hyped to watch, how many did you watch?
Those ones we just discussed. I think I watched the first episode... I think we discussed the first episode of the new Gintama, and that was all I watched of it. I've sort of flicked through X-Men... I might watch it when it's dubbed, as I've said before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like My Ordinary Life. Didn't like Sket Dance. I kind of liked Steins Gate, but it wasn't exciting enough for me to watch.
Right.
And yeah, there's other things I've got to watch, like Adventure Time, new series just started.
Right.
Third season, which is much better than most anime.
Ooh.
Regular show, that's pretty great. John Benjamin Has a Van, which is hilarious. That's a sort of sketch show.
American or...?
American, yeah.
Right. So I think I was quite over-ambitious with my original list for what we were going to watch for this. That's why on the summer preview, I was a bit more down-to-earth with what I was picking with that one.
Yeah, of the summer stuff, I can say... The only thing that I'm definitely watching and going to keep up on is Mawaru Penguin Drum.
I'm going to stick with number 6.
I've not watched the first episode of that yet.
So. I don't know what's going to happen with it. It's got some homoerotic undertones, but not in a way that it'll dictate the show, hopefully. You'll see. If you watch it, it's decent. And I've watched that penguin thing. And I might watch some more. It's a bit strange. It was quite depressing, actually.
To say that.
Very, very depressing, actually. So.
Yeah, it's very fairy tale like.
Mm.
But I'm sure we could talk about that at a later date, because I'm probably.
Yeah.
Unless it takes a serious turn for the worst, which I should probably be sticking with it, because the first episode is just mind bogglingly better than everything else.
Mm.
In terms of, it's visually, it's just so, got so much depth.
Mm.
Just all the little touches in their house and the backgrounds.
Yeah, I just couldn't comprehend how depressing it was. I thought I'd watched the wrong thing. I didn't know what I was watching. I was like, oh, this is hard hitting stuff. But no, I think we'll see how it turns out, but it looks potentially it could be good. But number 6, I'm definitely sticking with. And obviously, Toriko. I'll still be remaining to be watched. I'll still stick with that, obviously. and taking money.
Rightio. I'm not sure when the next episode's going to be, because I'm on holiday next weekend.
Anywhere nice?
No, just going back up to my mum's.
Ah, right.
And also I need to do a load of work on the icon panels.
Fair enough.
So we'll be back when we're back. Cheerio.
Are we going to plug stuff?
Go ahead.
You don't want to. Just follow me on Twitter. Excuse me. It is Ant Askew. And the blog, which is seldomly being updated, it is biocybercity.wordpress.com. I remembered it this week.
Hooray. Yeah, I'm awesome_engine on Twitter. The website is awesome-engine.com. You can find us on Facebook, on Feedburner, on iTunes. You can now find us on Podbean as well. I've put us up
what's
there.
What's that one? Is that
I don't know if anyone uses it anymore, but it exists, so I stuck us on it. I'm running 3 panels at Icon. Icon's all sold out, so tough luck if you haven't got a ticket. But if you are going, I'm doing a panel on Go Nagai. Shows from 68 to, and well, more like the manga from 68 to 76. I shall be running Mad Stravaganza on Saturday evening, and I shall also be running something on pro wrestling and anime and manga, probably on the Sunday, as far as I know.
So see, no wonder you haven't got time to be watching Toriko. You're too busy.
I know.
eventing it up.
The Go Nagai panel is pretty much writing itself, because there's just so much stuff he's made, so it's more a case of what not to put in.
Well, I don't want to obviously spoil the panel, but you're showing clips and stuff?
Yes, there'll be some clips. The general gist of it will be to look at the big series from that time. So basically stuff which got a lot of spin-offs, either in terms of other manga, TV series, OAVs, live-action movies. So your big names are going to be in there, like Shameless School, Abashiri Family, Maldante, Devilman, Mazinger, Get a Robo, Grandizer, and a few others. And so, yeah, I mean, really, I could just do I could fill an hour probably on Cutie Honey. Just sheer number of spin-offs and iterations of that is. So it's a case of kind of picking which clips to play, which information to.
So it's just a 1 hour long panel.
It is. So
that's not enough time for Brian.
It is exactly enough time for Brian.
You should make him fill a 3 hour slot.
No.
Yeah, I'll be going to that. Because
So the pro wrestling stuff will be sort of, that's the one which is taking a bit longer because it sort of goes in all sorts of directions.
And I presume there'll be clips in that one as well.
Oh yeah, there'll be plenty of clips in that one.
Good.
Finding some interesting stuff out. Again, I've probably got more stuff than I can fill an hour with that, so I'm sure it'll be packed.
I guess I'm kind of being part of a panel there at Icon. I've agreed to be a makeup model for someone's panel, so I think I'm at Sunday 11 a.m. possibly, at something like that. So if you want to see me with makeup on, or unless you've seen me before and you want to see me again with makeup on, go along on the Sunday.
And if you want a rare chance to see him without makeup on, just look out for the
weekend. That's also true. Oh god. Listeners who mustn't know me must think I'm such a complex individual. One minute I don't have any homoeroticism with Tiger and Bunny, then the next minute I wear makeup. Oh god, it's a long story. Well, it's not that long, but it's not that exciting either.
You're good, right? Yeah. We'll let you know when we're back. Probably fortnight, maybe.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Cheerio.
Bye-bye. Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. 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 My mind went blank. I'm usually okay with stuff like that, but I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was there, but my mind managed to go blank. Extremely blank.